We are studying discipleship as a church, and we're focusing on a disciple named Titus. And I don't know if you are at all biography people. I loved reading biographies. I think that is really interesting, biographies. And there is a church history book in the New Testament called the Book of Acts. And in that history of the early church in the Book of Acts, Titus is mentioned zero times. Now, I don't know about you. Do you ever feel overlooked? Like, maybe your name is not on the page? Well, I imagine in church history, none of our names are going to be there, really. But when you think about the books written in heaven, Titus is an example of someone who made an eternal difference. But often his impact was made through others. We often focus on the person who's up front, has the name. But the Bible focuses on the people behind the scenes who are making it all possible. And God was working through this man, Titus, to be an encouragement to others. I've just been fascinated by the study of Titus. And I just hope you capture a little bit of his example and how his example can be an encouragement to us today. So let's look first at Titus chapter 1, and he was called a true child in the faith. So Paul, writing this letter to Titus, calls him a true child in the faith. So you stop and go, wait a minute, what relationship does Paul have to this man Titus? Well, now let's go back in church history. Do you remember at the beginning of the book of Acts, God gave his church the responsibility to be witnesses. They are to wait till the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon them. They're to be witnesses both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and under the uttermost part of the earth. And so you know how God's people are. We say they were kind of comfortable in Jerusalem, you know, sharing the gospel with their friends, and that's very important. But it wasn't until the persecution got hot that the people started to scatter. And after the martyrdom of Stephen, witnessed by a man named Saul, after his martyrdom, the church starts to scatter. And one of the directions it goes north to the area today called Syria, to a city called Antioch. And in Antioch, the disciples started to share the gospel to Gentiles. That was different. Peter had shared the gospel to a Gentile named Cornelius, but now the gospel was going to a whole city of Gentiles. And if you imagine the pagan world of the first century, you imagine debauchery, right? It was a very evil world. And so these folks were coming into this city of Antioch and starting to preach the gospel. Now the church at Jerusalem started to hear about the gospel going to the Gentiles. And who do they send to encourage those new Christians? Oh, notice what I just called them? Christians. That's the first time believers, disciples, followers of the way were called Christians in Antioch. They sent one of our favorite Bible characters named Barnabas. What does his name mean? The son of encouragement. Remember that. That's an important word today. They send Barnabas. Barnabas starts working with these new believers and encouraging them, building them up, teaching them, and he realizes, I can't do it alone. So who does he send to get some help? This guy called Saul, who God had radically changed, but now had sent him back to Tarsus to kind of grow in his faith. And Barnabas remembers this man named Saul and invites him, actually goes to Tarsus, and brings him back to help him build up the church in Antioch. Now I want you to recognize that Titus is mentioned here in Acts chapter 11. We say, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and great numbers who believed turned to to the Lord, but it describes who these people are, and it says, in Antioch, they spoke to the Hellenists. That's Titus. Don't you wish they'd given his name? What's a Hellenist? Greek Gentile. Titus was one of those Greek Gentiles, not mentioned by name, just as a group, started to come to the Lord. Why was Titus called by Paul a true child in the faith? Because Paul, coming from Tarsus to help Barnabas, says they for a whole year met with the church and taught a great many people. That was Titus, great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. So Titus, not mentioned by name, is one of this group of Greek Gentiles who had now come to faith in Christ. Paul may have actually introduced him to Christ, but he at least was nurturing him in his faith. So Titus and Paul are tight. They are close. They have built a relationship in Antioch. So Titus is a true child of faith of the Apostle Paul, because Paul was instrumental in teaching him and encouraging him and inviting him to grow in his faith. I learned a couple things from this first section. First, notice that Barnabas calls Paul to help him in ministry. We often think of ministry as a solo thing, but really God has called us to entrust to others, equip others. As we start a new year of ministry as a church, I want us always to think, who am I inviting to come with me as I serve the Lord? That's the first thing Barnabas said. Who am I going to invite to come with me as I serve the Lord? Or maybe you're on the other side and say, wait, I see somebody serving the Lord. You say, how can I come alongside to help them? It is so important that we serve together, not alone. Because when one stumbles, you need the other to pick them up. Well, the next point I notice is the true message of the gospel. True message of the gospel. It's a big deal now that Gentiles are trusting in Jesus as their Savior. Isn't everyone excited that the Gentiles are trusting Jesus as their Savior? Not everyone was excited about that. Many folks, particularly Pharisees who had become followers of Christ, said, wait a minute, we went through a lot of preparation, a lot of responsibility, a lot of works to get to this position before we can now be invited to be a follower of Jesus. Well, that's not quite right, is it? There was the thought, and they called them Judaizers, we might call it legalism, said, you've got to do these works in order to earn this opportunity to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Well, works removes grace, doesn't it? Salvation is by grace through faith. So Titus gives us an illustration of the true message of the gospel. Now a little more history. I hope you like history. So now, Paul's in Antioch with Barnabas, and they're serving the Lord. Now who do you think God will send out to reach more people for Christ? The very ones that were so vitally leading the church in Antioch. We come to Acts chapter 13, the leaders of the church are praying, and two of those leaders, Barnabas and Paul, then called Saul, and they're praying, and the Holy Spirit said, set apart Barnabas and Saul to the work to which I've called them, and they're sent out on a mission trip. Do you remember where the first mission trip was? It was to this region called Galatia. Galatia is not a really pleasant place, mosquito-infested and rural area, and they went from town to town sharing the gospel, and people are coming to Christ. And then Paul says, we need to establish churches in Galatia and encourage the believers, and then they return to Antioch. Now, somehow in all this mix, Titus is around. And the reason we know this is we hear about Titus in perhaps the very first letter written in the New Testament, the letter Paul wrote to the Galatians. Paul writes to the Galatians in chapter 2. He says, after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along with me. This is the first time we hear Titus's name in the New Testament. And I went up because of a revelation and set before them, though privately, before those who seemed influential, the gospel that I proclaim among the Gentiles. In order to make sure I was not running or had not run in vain. But even Titus, who was with me, was not forced to be circumcised, though he was a Greek, yet because of false brothers secretly brought in, who slipped in to spy out our freedom that we have in Christ Jesus, so they might bring us into slavery. To them we did not yield in submission, even for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you. So Titus is very important. This is the gospel according to Titus. Remember, Titus is a visual aid to show that the condition or the prerequisite to be a follower of Jesus was not to follow the Old Testament law. Not, circumcision was considered a symbolic of the whole system of the law. So he says, women, you want to know the gospel? Look at Titus. He wasn't required to follow all the regimens of the law before he would be accepted by God. He was saved by grace. So look at Titus to understand the gospel. It's very important that we not add any work to earn God's favor. Let's make it really simple. What could we possibly do to add to the death of Christ for our sins? What could we possibly do to earn God's favor? And the gospel says Jesus paid it all. So if I have to add a work, a regimen, a legalism, I know I have time. Yep. Well, one story. My mom was sharing with me recently her testimony. She's going to home to be with the Lord soon, and she was sharing her testimony. She said there was an evangelistic group that came to her church. She was in high school. She was the church organist since she was age 12. And they sharing the gospel with her, and they said, you know, Norma, would you like to pray to receive Christ? She says, I'm the church organist. And she said, no. Would you like to receive Christ as your Savior? She says, you know, I come to church every Sunday. I mean, do you know who you're talking to? My mom said she was offended that someone thought that she was not a Christian. She went to church since zero. At age 12, she was a church organist. And she prayed to receive Christ. And it was a remarkable thing of recognizing you don't work for your salvation. You do work out your salvation with fear and trembling, but you don't work for your salvation. You're saved from sin, saved to serve. That's the nature of the gospel. The true message of the gospel is not that we can do something to earn God's favor. He's done everything for us. He provided salvation for us. Third point. Now Titus, a follower of Christ, an example that who illustrates the gospel, becomes a co-worker with the Apostle Paul. Paul realized that if you're going to bring the message of salvation to the whole world, he was going to need to multiply ministry through others. So you always find Paul with someone else. Paul and Silas, Paul and Epaphroditus, Paul and Timothy, Paul and Titus. Titus is sent out. But I want to come back to this one word that just struck me about Titus. Paul is on his third missionary journey. He's traveling across Galatia, now Asia Minor, and he comes to Western Asia Minor to a place called Troas. And I was just struck by this, because though Titus is not mentioned in the book of Acts, and he's only mentioned 13 times in the New Testament, he's mentioned 8 times in 2 Corinthians. And Paul, writing to the Corinthians, tells this story in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. When I came to Troas, this is Paul speaking, to preach the gospel of Christ, even though a door was open for me in the Lord, my spirit was not at rest because I did not find my brother Titus. Isn't that remarkable? Paul, you know Paul, gospel preacher, he comes and God has opened this door to preach the gospel, but he couldn't find his brother Titus there. So I took leave of them and went on to Macedonia. Think about that for a moment. Why was Titus so important to Paul's ministry? What was so impactful about Titus? The reality was he needed the encouragement of a brother in Christ to do ministry. He couldn't do it alone. He had God's enablement, but he needed the enablement and encouragement of Titus. So what was so special about Titus that was enabling Paul to do ministry? We could spend a lot of time on this, but this is the word in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 6. But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not only by his coming, but also by the comfort with which he was comforted by you. Do you see the word that keeps coming out there? What was this big thing about Titus who made him so significant? Do you know what the word comfort is? Bet you know. It's the same word parakaleo that is translated Barnabas, the son of encouragement. The same word translated encouragement is sometimes translated exhort, so I don't want to dilute the meaning of the word, but it's also translated comfort. Why was Titus so important to the ministry of the Apostle Paul? He needed an encourager. Who doesn't need an encourager? Anybody not need an encourager? Every one of us need an encourager. For Paul to do effective ministry, he needed a Barnabas to encourage him. And then he, who then invested in Titus, his protege, he also was an encouragement to Paul. Isn't that marvelous to think about? Who are you encouraging? Who am I encouraging? Who is your encourager so that you are released to do ministry for the Lord? Isn't that a marvelous testimony? We're going to devote next week to the fourth point, which is that Titus was trustworthy. Oops! Did you hear what I just did? I just slid by Titus and called him a Timothy. I bet you Titus is offended. No. Next week, we're going to talk about how God used Titus to be sent out by the Apostle Paul to multiply the ministry. Next week, we're kind of launching into the new church year. And I want us to emphasize how important it was to be strengthened for ministry in the context and community of the local church. Titus was sent out to Corinth. He was sent out to Crete, and he was sent out to an area which is Serbia today. He also comes alongside Paul in Ephesus. And what we learn about Titus, that the Apostle Paul could entrust to him ministry because he was confident that he would finish the work that God had called him to do. So what did we learn this morning? I was struck by that word encouragement today, that the mark of discipling others is to be an encourager to them so that you multiply ministry through others. We need encouragers. We need to be encouragers. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the example of the relationship of Paul and Titus. Thank you for this person in history that illustrates for us the gospel. Perhaps someone's come today and thinking, boy, I've been working for my salvation. God should be impressed today. In reality, the truth of the gospel is we're saved by grace. For by grace we've been saved through faith, that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. But we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Lord, if there's anyone today who's never trusted Christ for the forgiveness of their sins, we invite them to come forward. And Lord, there are others who are here tonight, today, that need encouragement, and we invite them to come forward for prayer, whatever that area of life is that they need encouragement and prayer today. Lord, we thank you for the gospel. We thank you that is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.